Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. Before we start, I want to give out the studio number because this is a live show and we love to hear from our listeners. That number is 510-770-1550. You can also go and like our Facebook page, ICC Parent Talk, and you can put up any questions you have there as well, ICC Parent Talk. Today, I'm very excited to have in the studio with me two very young authors. Sabina Anand is an 8th grader from Cupertino Middle School and she's written a novel called Forbidden Earth. Welcome to the show, Sabina.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
And Sanjana Ravi is 12 years old and she's a local girl. She's from Thornton Junior High and she's written a novel called Cassandra Agnes Smith, Necklace of Sovereignty. Welcome to the show, Sanjana.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And Sanjana's nom de plume, her pen name is Sejay, and that's how you can find her book on Amazon. Sabina's book is also available there. Those of us who have attempted writing a novel or even writing an article know how hard it is to find the discipline and motivation to put an idea into words and complete it. So Sabina and Sejay's achievements are really impressive and I'm very excited to have them in the studio with me today. And in this episode of Parent Talk, I'm going to be talking to them to find out how they did it. So let's begin with you, Sejay. Tell me a little bit about yourself. When did you start writing?
I've started writing ever since, like, I guess when I was 6, but I wrote this book particularly when I was 11 years old.
So how long did it take you to write?
It took me 6 months to finish the whole novel, but I guess with editing and everything, it took up to 10 months.
Wow. Let me just take a quick pause here and make sure our listeners can hear her. Samir, our listeners can hear her voice? I'm not sure. I'm not getting it over my... Yeah? Okay, so Sejay, just let's repeat that quickly because I want to make sure that our sound check is okay. Speak closer to the mic. And so tell me again. So you said you started writing when you were?
I wrote the story when I was 11. So.
And it took you?
It took me 6 months to complete it, but with editing and everything, it took up to 10 months.
Wonderful. And Sabina, what about you?
I started writing this book the summer before I entered 6th grade, and I took 1.5 years on this novel because I experienced a lot of writer's block in between.
Yeah? Okay. So tell us a little bit about the writer's block. That's how did you overcome it, more importantly?
A lot of motivation from my parents. I stopped in the middle, but then I realized that finishing the novel would really be like a great achievement for me, and it seemed like a lot of fun too because I really enjoy writing. So,
were you able to keep the thread of the story in your mind? Had you composed the whole book in your head before you started writing it, or did it evolve as you went along?
I had the basic plot already set out in front of me, but mm-hmm. I didn't have the exact ending yet, and I put in the details as I went.
Right, okay. And tell me a little bit about the book itself, what the book is about. This is the book called Forbidden Earth.
Yeah.
So go for it.
It takes place in the future, and it's at a time when there are no humans left on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story of a girl and her family, and they're the first humans to land on Earth in thousands and thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their story and how they try to survive on Earth.
And so it's a futuristic science fiction,
yes,
novel
of
sorts.
Yes, a twist of action and romance, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. And what about you, Sejay? What's your book about?
It's more like a fantasy novel. It's about mermaids. There's one group of mermaids who are trying to take over the world. And then this girl, she's really young, and she just loses her mother. But it's now up to her to save everybody.
And so this is more fantasy, more mythological,
yeah.
Because I did see the book and it felt like there was a lot of elements of mythology in it.
Yeah.
So you were able to write your book a lot faster. So what contributed to that speed? What made you like just start and finish?
I think I just like to rush things a lot. It's just, I really wanted to finish because my friends were also, because I was at school closer to the end of the book, and they were all telling me how I should like finish so they can start buying the copies and stuff, so they really helped
me. So you had a lot of support from friends. Did you show them early versions of the book?
I showed them like the first and second chapters, but I didn't want to reveal too much, so I hid some things.
What about you, Sabina? Did you also show the book around? I mean, did you show bits of the book to your friends and family?
I kept it mostly private to my family because I didn't want to show anything before it officially came out.
So two very different approaches, but at the end of it, we have two beautiful books. So tell me, Sabina, what was your inspiration for placing the story in the futuristic context?
I was sitting around with my dad. My dad also knows a lot about engineering and robotics.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at the time, was reading a lot of just normal, plain fiction. And we were discussing things that would make interesting movie plots. And we came across this plot that sounded really great to me. And mm-hmm. it combined futuristic sci-fi and action. And I...
So you sort of brainstormed with your dad about yeah. ideas for what would make a good movie or a book.
Yeah.
And then you took that idea and you ran with it.
Yes.
That's a very professional way of doing it. It's like, oh, I want to write a book. What do I write about? And then you sit and work it out. Is that how it happened?
I originally did not plan on writing a book. We were just discussing plots.
Okay.
But we came up with the plot somehow, and I just decided to write it into a story.
Oh, that's fantastic. And did you spend a lot of time conceptualizing it first before you put the first word to paper?
No, it was really basic. I mean, we did spend a long time that day. We spent hours, but we didn't spend too long just dwelling on the plot.
Mm-hmm. So when you actually sat down to write, what did you have in your head at that point?
I had the entire story almost laid out for me, but I had to kind of put it to words.
Okay, wonderful. What about you? What was your process on the imagination required to come up with that idea? How did you come up with the idea?
I was really bored that summer, and I just wanted to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought of all the books that had been written, and I realized nobody wrote anything about mermaids, so I just thought, why can't I?
That's a great idea, absolutely. I mean, we've got vampires, we've got trolls, we've got all kinds of wizards, of
yeah.
course, that's the most popular, and mermaids haven't been done,
yeah.
except for little girl books. I've
yeah.
seen a few mermaid books
mermaid.
There, but that's a great idea. You know, this is a great time to take a break. Listeners, if you have some questions to ask our young authors, please do so, 510-770-1550. We'll be back after a break and talk some more to these girls to find out what was their inspiration and how they did this amazing achievement of completing a novel and having it published. Welcome to Parent Talk. Welcome back. We're talking to Sabina Anand and Sanjana Ravi, also known as Seji, about the two books that they've written. Sabina has written a novel called Forbidden Earth, and it's a futuristic novel at a time when the Earth has no more humans left. And Sanjana has written, Seji, rather, as she likes to be called, has written a book called Cassandra Agnes Smith, Necklace of Sovereignty, which is a book about mermaids. And as I said before, I'm really excited to have them both in my studio today. Before the break, we talked a little bit about the plots of the book and about how they started writing the book, how long it took them to write the book, and what was the process. I want to ask a little bit more about the process in this segment. One of the things that I find as a writer myself is that I tend to second guess myself a lot, which is I'll write something, then I say, this really doesn't sound good. This doesn't look good, and then I'll be tempted to just erase the whole thing and try to start over. Writers do that. We are very fussy and we like to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with you, Sabina. How did you cope with that? Did you have that moment where you said, man, this really doesn't sound good? Or did you just decide, okay, I'm starting writing start to finish and I'm not going to stop till I'm done?
That was a problem throughout the course of writing the book. But if I edited a sentence two or three times, I decided it was enough, and if I edited it anymore, it would kind of ruin the creative flow of the passage.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that if I edited it twice or thrice, then I would be done with it and I would move on.
Oh, that's a really good practice, I guess, and I think many professional writers, many adult writers would be useful for them to follow that practice, because I guess that's one way of moving on. What about you, CJ?
Mine's is actually similar. Like, when I first started writing the book, it's literally nothing to what the book turned out to be. I erased three whole chapters, and rewrote until finally I just thought, I have to stop rewriting this. It's mm-hmm. fine the way it is. And then I just kind of...
Did you save all the previous drafts?
Yeah, I have it like in a file in my computer.
And so are they going to be inspirations for some future books, possibly?
Maybe. Maybe.
Did other ideas come out while you were doing the editing process?
Yeah, I've started writing other books, but then I told myself, hey, you should focus on this one first. Come back to these when you're finished with the whole like sequel and the third trilogy and stuff.
I know you said you had an editing process of a few months. Was that you editing, or did you get outside help to edit, like parents or teachers or someone like that?
I started off editing it myself first, and mm-hmm. then since we worked with a publishing company, they also did some editing, and it took a while for them to finish editing, and then I had to edit from what they edited, and it was a back and forth kind of thing. So
oh, that's fantastic. I'll get back to the publishing company for you a little bit. Sabina, what about you? What about the editing process where you were concerned?
As far as writing the book was concerned, it was mostly to myself, but then after I finished, I showed it to my dad, I showed it to my grandparents, mm-hmm. and I edited it myself as well. The publishing company we used did not offer editing, so it was mostly just me and my family and my friends. We all read through it a couple times before submitting it for publishing.
So did you get feedback from the people who read it on changes that they would like to see, and how did you think about those changes? What did you think of those criticisms or feedback?
I have gotten constructive criticism, and I am planning on working on the information I got on mm-hmm. my next novel and how I can work to improve my writing.
Did you get criticism or feedback or ideas during the course of writing the first one?
Mostly all the criticism I got was from my family, mm-hmm. and not I didn't expand anywhere beyond that because I tried to keep the storyline within my family. Mm-hmm. And so all the ideas came from my parents and myself.
What about you, Sejay? Did you get constructive criticism during the writing process, and were you able to incorporate that, or did you say, no, this is my idea and this is how it's going to go?
I did get constructive criticism mainly from my mom. And at first, when she would tell me stuff, I would just think, oh, why do I have to listen to her? But then once I read it again, I'm like, maybe she's right. I should think about that. And then it actually improved it a lot.
Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. But you didn't show it to an English teacher or...
I did show it to my teacher. Mm-hmm. She didn't get too much time to read it. But like once I also showed my friends, and they found some like errors in it, like... in one part, I wrote Cassandra 1, and like there's some typos, and they were able to help me with that also. So.
That's right. I mean, I guess one of the things that you have to, that writers who write a full novel, especially a complicated one with a plot with many characters, is that you have to keep track of the consistency in the plot. Was that something that you had to like go back and say, hey, I wrote this then, but now I'm writing this now? It's like continuity and consistency.
Yeah, like what one lady we worked with, she found lots of problems I had with that. Like one place I would say maybe she had like a red mermaid tail, and then another place I'd say she had a golden mermaid tail, and I'd have to like reread my own writing to remember what I wrote, because it was over a course of a long time, and so all of the... I had to like reread it a lot.
I see. And who was this person who helped you with the...
It was
one of the publishing people.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that, and I'm very interested in knowing, and I think our listeners will be very interested to know the many ways of getting a book published these days and how to get an entry into the book publishing world. It's a hard thing to do. So let's take another break. You're listening to Parent Talk, and we're talking to Sejay and Sabina Anand. We're talking about their books, which they're both novelists. They have published books, and they plan to do more in the future. Sabina's book is called Forbidden Earth, and Sejay's book is called Cassandra Agnes Smith, Necklace of Sovereignty, and it's a first of a series. Liz, you're listening to Parent Talk. Our call-in number is 510-770-1550, and we'll be back after a break. Welcome back to Parent Talk. Today I am very excited to have in the studio with me Sabina Anand, the author of Forbidden Earth, Sanjana Ravi, who is the author of Cassandra Agnes Smith, Necklace of Sovereignty. Both of them have written these books when they were 11 and 12, and that's an amazing achievement. And earlier in the show, we've been talking about what brought them to write the book, a little bit about the book. And just before this break, we talked about what the editing process was like and how they motivated themselves even when they didn't like what they had written, how they pushed themselves to get the book done. And that, let me tell you, is one of the toughest things to do. In this segment, I'd like to talk a little more about the publishing process, because many of us have the ambition to write a book, but it daunts us that the whole process of finding someone who can publish it, is quite daunting, though it has become easier in these days of publishing, because there's a lot of digital options available as well. So let me start with you, Sejay. What was the publishing process once you had finished the book, or did you start the process even before your book was finished?
We researched a lot before the book was finished, but once I finished the book, we really got serious into it. We started off going traditionally, so we looked like the traditional way is just to look for a publishing company, mm-hmm. send them your book, and then if they like it, they'll publish it for you. They'll help you, and it's free.
Right.
But then that took a really long time.
So did you try it? Did
yeah.
you try that way? Okay.
We
what did you do?
We sent the first two chapters of my story to a publisher, mm-hmm. but we hadn't gotten a response for so long. Like, we got the response about a month ago, and we sent it like a year ago.
Right. They have huge slush piles, is what they're
yeah.
called. You know, the piles of manuscripts, submitted manuscripts. Right. Which publisher was this?
I don't remember.
Okay, there are many, I'm sure.
Well, the Arthur Levine.
Arthur Levine, okay. And then what did you do?
So after that, we tried looking for an agent who might be able to help us, but mm-hmm. that also took a really long time.
Right.
Then we found this lady. She owns, I think, Leica Publishing Company.
Right.
And she was really good. Like, she even had this writer's... She teaches kids how to write.
Right. In Fremont,
them.
The yeah. recreation center, she has classes, right?
Yeah.
Leica Publishing classes. That's
yeah.
right.
And so we were working with her, but we kind of, like... We ran out of patience. Like, this was a long process. So
right.
We were really just eager to get it published.
Right.
So then... That didn't work out, and so we just went to an online publishing company.
Okay, yeah. Let me just back you up on the Leica Publishing. So what services were you expecting, and what services did they provide?
We didn't know what to expect. We were new to this. We just wanted to get our book published.
Mm-hmm.
But she was really helpful. Like, she helped me improve my story to what it is now.
Uh-huh.
And basically what she would do, she would go over the book until it was, like, perfect,
mm-hmm.
and then... We were supposed to send it to reviewers who would send us reviews so that we could put on the back of the book
right.
so people would see it. Like, we were going to send it to Kirkus or something.
Right.
And then we could get the reviews on the back and then publish it.
Mm-hmm.
But we ran out of the patience to
Again,
do that.
It's a long, long process.
Yeah.
So, but you did get editing help. And
yeah.
that's important because it requires someone with an objective mm-hmm. mind who is not your parent or your friend to tell mm-hmm. you whether this works or not. And I guess that's a good process to go through.
Yeah.
So finally you went to an online publishing house. Is there a particular name?
Yeah. We worked with createspace.com. There are many websites that will help, but we chose createspace.com.
Okay.
And
why?
It seemed like the easiest for us, and it was one of the first ones we found. We just felt comfortable with it because
mm-hmm.
we tried it before. We just kind of like stopped it because we wanted to go traditionally.
Right.
And then we just came back to it.
So tell me the process.
Basically, we first they had a lot of like the general stuff, like getting an ISBN number and like reviewing yourself review your book, and then.
Mm-hmm.
Then we emailed them a copy for them to edit, and
okay.
then
so there's one more editing process
yeah.
there. Okay.
And then after they edited it, we had to figure some illustrations, and we had to figure out what we would do for the cover, and that's what they found a gorgeous picture for us to use for the cover, which I love. And then
so this is provided by the publishing
yeah.
house. Okay.
And they did a lot. They really helped. Like for the they wrote a summary for the back and. They helped a lot.
So this is not just putting your book and publishing it yourself. It's
yeah.
actually a company online that does provide some services.
Yeah.
So this is how, I guess, publishing the world is changing, right?
Yeah.
You have the traditional publishers, you have your Random House and your Scholastic mm-hmm. and various publishers, and now you have a whole bunch of these online publishers
yeah.
who will do the same service. So do they charge a fee?
Yes.
They charge a huge fee. So that's the price, but then at the end of it, you have a book, and I have seen the book, and you're right. The cover is gorgeous. The layout is very clean.
Mm-hmm.
So they have provided you some of the finishing touches that maybe you wouldn't have been
yeah.
able to do on your own. So that's one way of going. So when they did that editing process, and I want to ask you about the editing process done by Leica as well. When they did that editing process, did you get upset that, you know, because it was your baby and they were making some changes that you didn't quite like?
At first, yes. Like, it's constructive criticism can always like hurt you a little bit, but it was very useful. Like, now that I read it now, I read the first copy that I have in my computer, that I can see a huge difference, and I love the difference. It makes it so much interesting now.
It does, I guess. And Sabina, I want to hear your story as well now. So you tell me about how the whole the story of how your book got published.
So we did not start off going traditionally like she did, but we went straight to Author House, Inc. which is a self-publishing company that published it on Amazon.
What, can you tell me the name again?
Author House.
Author House. Okay. So that was Create Space, and this is Author House. All right. Cool.
For the cover, I took the picture myself on a camera, and I edited all the cover, and we submitted it to them, and they formatted the back of the book. But the photography for the cover was made by me.
Okay. And that's a lovely cover too. So what services did they provide, and why did you pick them?
Author House, it also seemed like the best suggestion for us, and it was also one of the first publishers we were led to. And the publisher.
What do you mean led to?
We were looking for publishers a lot, like researching, and my dad was. He was researching on how to find a good publisher, and Author House was one of the first he came upon, and so we kind of just
So walk me through the process.
I wasn't very much involved with finding the publisher. Once my dad had found Author House, then I became more involved.
Okay, so what did you do after that, once you had decided that this was going to be the publisher? Do they have to okay the book, or they will publish what you provide?
It is self-publishing, yes, so they will publish what you provide, but I wanted to make it as good as possible.
Okay.
So as for the editing process, all the editing was done also by my family and me. So we submitted it a couple times though, and then I read through and I realized that there were some errors that I would like to change, and we kept on fetching it back, and I kept on changing it, and then I would submit it again, and finally we decided, okay, this is enough, and we submitted it one final time, and then they published it, and the publishing process did take a long time, but I think the rewards were worth it.
Do the publishing houses undertake to put it up on Amazon as well? How are the copies? How does it work? Are you in charge of the stocking? Sabina, you want to take that first? I mean, do you have copies in your house that you're selling, or does Amazon have copies? How do you do it? How exactly does that work?
I do it both ways. I do sell it by hand. I sold it to a lot of my friends at school. I also get a better profit out of that because we don't have to pay the distribution fees. But on Amazon, it's also available, and over there they also distribute it. And
so who publishes it though? Who keeps the stock?
It's half and half, really, because I also have some stock at home, and it's also at Amazon. It's either way.
So Author Space, you can tell them, I want 1,000 copies. Is that how it works? And then, Sejay, why don't you tell us what your process is? I'm trying to understand the mechanics of this, because there is a cost involved. Mm-hmm. You are producing the book yourself to a certain extent, and you have to know how many copies to keep and how many copies will be ordered later. So how do you manage that?
We did the same as her. We bought a couple from the company for ourselves to sell to our friends, because we get more profit if we sell it by hand.
Right.
And if you buy it from Amazon, basically the company has, they print it when someone orders it.
So order on print. Okay.
Yeah. And then since we ordered it, we have a couple that we hand out to people we know. And then if someone ordered it from, some of my friends, they ordered it from online because they were searching for it. And then they would print the copy and then mail it to them from Amazon. So it's a half and half. They have copies there. We have
so it's print
there.
On demand, actually.
Yeah.
So for you too, Sabina, that's how it works. So can you share with us how many copies the book has sold?
I guess we've sold a little less than 100
copies.
Which,
that's amazing. That's amazing. What about you, Sabina?
My sales are in the couple thousands.
Fantastic.
We have a Facebook page, and that currently has about 10,000 likes.
Oh, that's amazing. So that's fantastic. So in this segment, we've been talking a little bit about how to get the book published. And as you can see, now for young authors, the options are really out there. We don't have to go through the tedious process of finding a traditional publisher. And it's possible to get your work out pretty simply. There is an initial investment, which you don't have when you go through a traditional publisher. But however, you do get the satisfaction of seeing your book in print. And as Sabina has pointed out, she's been ahead in the process. I think you started a little bit earlier than Sejay.
Yeah.
And she has been able to market it and publicize it and sell quite a few copies. So that's I think, very encouraging to young writers who may be listening to the show or their parents, to encourage their kids to write and complete a novel. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little more about the book itself. And we're going to have the girls read an excerpt from their book so you can get a little sense of what the book is all about. Back after a break, you're listening to Parent Talk with Vidya. Welcome back to Parent Talk. Today I'm talking to two young authors, Sabina Anand, who is the author of a book called Forbidden Earth. It's a futuristic sci-fi novel. And Sanjana Ravi, who has written a novel called Cassandra Agnes Smith, Necklace of Sovereignty, which is a fantasy book with mermaids. And both of them wrote this book at really young ages, 11 and 12 years old. And they're both middle schoolers, and we are really proud to have them in our studio today. Earlier in the show, we've been talking a little bit about the editing process, the creative process, and the publishing process. And in this particular segment, we're pretty much coming to the end of the show. I'll have both the girls read an excerpt from the book. But before that, I have a few questions to ask. One is that, you know, I want to ask both of you this question, and maybe, Sejay, you can take it first, which is, what was the most difficult part of writing the book?
The most difficult part for me to writing this book was just getting my ideas and putting them to words, because I had the ideas in my mind. I just didn't know how to write it out for the book.
So getting the idea, I would say, was the easiest part. Yeah. Huh? The imagination was not difficult. Yeah. It was actually putting those imagination in words. What about you, Sabina?
Actually, that was one of the most fun parts for me, writing out my words. Mm-hmm. But I think the most difficult part for me was definitely when I wasn't sure what I wanted to happen next. Like, I had a plot, but I didn't have enough detail written out. And okay. I wanted to make it, like...
So you had a beginning, middle, and end, but you didn't know how the pieces were connected.
I thought it would make it really interesting to put in a lot of plot twists, but it was difficult to come up with some that would, like, interest the readers.
And did you have other books that you used as inspirations? What about you, Sabina?
This book was entirely from my imagination and with my dad's help.
And what books do you typically like to read?
I do read a lot of fantasy and, like, that take place in alternate universes, like AU.
Oh, that's fantastic. So can you give me a name of a book that you enjoy?
I'm into the really popular books as well. Like, I've read the Hunger Games series as many times as a lot of times.
So alternate universe, though. That's interesting. So you read a lot of science fiction?
I do read science fiction. There was this book I read a while ago called Summer of the Green Star. That was also science fiction that I enjoyed.
What about you, Sejay? What were your inspirations for the book? Did you have a book that was an inspiration, or, again, was it your imagination?
It was my imagination, but the inspiration to actually write a book, it mainly came from, like, the Harry Potter series, because I was rereading that summer, and I was like, I should write a book now.
Yeah, that's a great inspiration to have. And I think Harry Potter not only encouraged a lot of kids to read, now it looks like it's encouraged a lot of kids to write as well. So that's wonderful. And what are your favorite books?
Well, it's like I like The Hunger Games as well. I'm rereading it right now. And then I also like the Harry Potter series, Percy Jackson, and like that kind of genre.
I also want to ask you, did you put any of your family and friends in the book? Was it a temptation? Did you do it? You don't have to tell us who, but did you?
I didn't use their names, but their personalities are, like, exactly alike. I was basing them off of them. And in the second book, I am actually using their names.
Oh, that's great. And did they find out? Did they realize it was them?
Yeah, like, some of the things they did, I took from some, like, what my friends would do, and they would ask me, hey, why did you put that there?
So they recognize themselves. Yeah. What about you, Sabina? Did you put any characters you know in the book?
All characters in my book were based completely off of imagination. I had no reference at all to any people that I know.
So how did you create these characters? You know, they say write what you know. So here you picked something that you didn't know at all. So what was the motivation and inspiration?
I tried making characters that contrasted, and I thought of, like, all the books I've ever read and how the personalities of, like, how the antagonist and protagonist, how they act, and I thought that it'd be cool to have, like, the main character and their best friend be different in many ways, and I just tried to have, like,
I have to say, you've written a very a science fiction book, but your approach seems to have been very scientific as well. You seem to have thought through, okay, we have an antagonist, we have a protagonist, their personalities need to be different. And it's very constructed. Whereas, Sejay, you seem to have written with a lot more emotion.
Yeah.
So that's two very different ways, but both successful at coming out with beautiful books. That's wonderful. So how about we read an excerpt from the book, each of you, and a short excerpt. We have about 3-4 minutes, maybe a minute, and leave it at a point where our listeners want more.
Okay.
So. Go for it. This is Sejay, and she's reading from her novel, Cassandra Agnes Smith, Necklace of Sovereignty. Both these books have been read by my 10-year-old, and let me tell you, she thoroughly enjoyed it. So this is something you really should be looking for your kids. Go for it, Sejay.
Well, I am sorry to say that I have been sent here to commit yet another murder, Ted said casually. He picked some dirt from under his fingernail and pulled his hand closer to his face. He bit at his nails as he spoke. And can you guess why I must commit a murder? Cassie Ann didn't reply. Instead, she pulled her hands above her face and grunted with effort. Suddenly, a gigantic ball of water appeared above her hands. She had created water out of thin air. Cassandra stared in amazement at the pure magic her mother had just done. This is a joke. She's trying to prank me. She will start to laugh in a few moments, Cassandra whispered in her head, praying for her thoughts to be true. Cassie Ann made the water grow larger and wider until it looked like a whirlpool in the air. Then she flung it at Ted. He got soaked, but didn't care. You can't defeat me, Cassidy. I'm stronger. She is stronger. You will lose. Just surrender, Ted said almost morosely.
Wow, so we have a really gripping battle going on here between some of the main characters. And this is from Cassandra Agnes Smith, Necklace of Sovereignty. It's the first of a series. CJ does have plans to write a sequel. And if you have a daughter who enjoys fantasy books or a son who enjoys fantasy books, I would highly encourage them to seek out this book. It's available on Amazon and Kindle. Is it available on Kindle as well?
Not yet.
Not yet. So it's available on Amazon it'll be very interesting to see how this book progresses. I'm very interested to find out. Sabina, it's your turn next. You're going to read from Forbidden Earth, a scientific futuristic novel. Go for it.
Everybody started rushing through the door. They were all scared, yet they knew fighting back would be better than cowering away. But the BCs are smart, too. The only problem was that the generation of humans on the spaceship, they'd never encountered the BCs. They'd only heard the stories. On the flip side, there were a few BCs who had lived during the time when they had chased off humans from Earth. BCs could live longer than humans, too. The rivals had never met, and yet there they were, charging at each other, neither side knowing what would happen next. All along, Macy was trying to remember all that she had learned about what the BCs had done to humans. They made her angry, and before she realized it, she had sped up and was running in front of all of the other humans. Big mistake. The BCs turned all their focus onto Macy. Muscular arms reached for her torso, and before she could think twice, she had been captured.
Wow, and what are the BCs in this book?
It's short for biological computers. They are the creation of the humans. They're robots that are very similar to humans, but they have variations in their DNA.
So android like creatures?
I guess you could compare them to androids, yes. And in our future, but the past of this book, they had chased off all humans from Earth, mm-hmm. and this is the story of the first humans that land on Earth again.
So there is so humans land on an Earth that's now populated with biological computers,
yes.
and you have a battle royale between these new people who've landed on Earth and the computers.
And now Macy and her small group of human friends and family have to figure out how they're going to survive and save her in a world of their own creations.
Oh, that's absolutely fascinating. And will you also summarize your book for us quickly?
Oh, yeah. Basically, Cassandra and her mother are walking down San Francisco. They're going back home.
It's set in contemporary times?
Kind of. It's modern-ish.
Okay.
So basically, they get a surprise visit from her father, and He's what's called a Panruder, which are they're followers of an evil mermaid, and basically he was sent to retrieve the necklace that Cassandra's mother was wearing, but he ended up killing her and leaving. Then that left Cassandra alone, so she had to move to Greece to live with her grandparents because she had no other family.
Uh-huh.
But what she didn't know was she was going to be moving underwater.
Oh, that's fantastic. I don't want to reveal any more. And we've come to the end of the show. You've been listening to Sabina Anand and Sanjana Ravi, also known as CJ, and their wonderful books. More information about their books is on the ICC Parent Talk page. And of course, we'll be putting up the transcript of this show later on ICC IndiaCC.org/Parent Talk. Thank you, Sabina, for being on
the
show.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, CJ, for being on the show.
Thank you.
We've come to the end of the show. To listen to this recordings of this show and past shows, check out IndiaCC.org/Parent Talk. The show's theme tune was composed by Naren Pradhan, and write to me at radio@IndiaCC.org for your ideas and thoughts. Tune in same